Morning. It is good to be back up here on Sunday morning to look out and see your faces. It's been 2 weeks. I want to thank Ryan for doing a good job of filling the pulpit. I always get worried. No preacher never wants to let anybody else in his pulpit because y'all might go, "Hey, we can do better." But I do appreciate him and his job he did last week, and also very, very thankful to Phil Sanders and the job that he did the Sunday before. And so I'm thankful to be back up here this morning, though. I want to welcome all of our guests that we have this morning. We hope that you will stay around and let us get to know you. This is a very loving family, and we want to know you, and we want to become your friends. We want to show you our love. So please stay around and let us get to know you better. This morning we continue our Two Paths Diverge series that we're going throughout this entire year. Once again, we're delayed. We're not on the second week again, but that cannot be helped because of the things that we've had going on. But we continue this morning by thinking about the power of prayer. Now I know you hear that, you see that commercial about "Behold the power of cheese," and I love cheese, but I love prayer more. I believe in the power of prayer more. You know, people in the Bible that we see, and we see that prayer changed their lives. Prayer made a difference in their lives. Men like Joshua, who prayed for battle, who prayed for the sun to stand still, right? Think about men like Samson, and you think, well, Nathan Samson's not a great example, but you think about those last moments as his eyes are gouged out and he's chained to the post there in that Philistine arena. And he prayed. And his last act of his life became one of faithfulness to God. Think about David and the prayers that we read about, especially in the book of Psalms. Psalm 51, as we read David's prayer to God in regards to the death of Uriah and his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, we hear him say, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. O God, my sin is ever before me." What a wonderful prayer. And what a change in his life it was able to make. We think about Hannah, who did not have a child, but went to the tabernacle. She prayed fervently to God. In fact, she was praying so fervently that it appeared odd. It appeared strange to the high priest Eli, and he thought she was drunk. She was begging God, promising that child to God. And parents, we need to promise our children to God. And he gave her a great son named Samuel, who would be one of the great judges. The last great judge. Think of men like Hezekiah and what a prayer did for extending his life. Men like Paul, singing and praying, the earth shook, right? The difference it can make. And the praying for 3 days that he did before Ananias came to him so that he could arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. But we think most of all about our Lord, do we not? You know, what I had planned for this sermon was to deal a little bit more with the Lord, but we dealt so much with the Lord in class that, you know, I'm just going to simply refer you to that. But our Lord's prayer in John 17, as He prayed for His disciples and He prayed for you and me, and then those prayers where He prayed about Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, how powerful they were. And how they can change our lives if we'll only give ourselves to prayer. There are three powerful aspects of prayer I want to talk about this morning. I'm not going to talk about form of prayer and different things like that. That's another lesson for another time. I really want to focus on us thinking about the power of prayer, because I think if we don't understand the power of prayer, if we don't, you know, find something about what God can do with prayer, all the other doesn't really matter. Because once I understand what prayer can do, that's the only time I'll ever really give my life to it. Three aspects of the power of prayer. Number one, and this is the one I think that we miss so often, you are speaking to the God of the universe. Do you realize that? Do you get that? Do you think about that? Do you know who you're talking to? It's not Joe on the street. It bothers me when I hear people praying. They're praying like they're talking to Joe on the street. You're not talking to Joe on the street. You're talking to God in heaven. And you need to show Him some respect. You need to show Him some reverence. You know, we've gotten into this casual aspect of life these days. Everything needs to be casual. We don't want to be too formal. Let me tell you what, you go before God, you better be formal. Because He's God. Would you be nervous if the President of the United States or some other rich or powerful person was going to call you and talk to you? Or would you just go, hey, how you doing there? Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's nice to talk to you, sir, right? Why in the world would we go to God with anything less than respect? Anything less than reverence? I would think that any of us would want to think about how to carefully speak to some powerful person in this world. We need to think carefully about how to speak to God. And yet we as Christians have this unbelievable blessing of being able to speak to the God that created all things. And we just take it for granted. Do we realize what an honor it is to speak to God? He is the God that has always existed. He has no beginning. He will never have an end. He is, as Revelation 1:8, 21:6, and 22:13 says, He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is all. God spoke as well the entire universe into existence. That's hard to fathom, isn't it? That the power of His words are so powerful that what He speaks happens. I can't speak and make my house get clean. Neither can my poor wife. But God can speak and universes appear. Light appears just by saying it. What a powerful God. He is the one that began time. If you can put that one into your head, let that one swirl around for you just a bit. In the beginning, God. That's really how it goes. God did it. He began time and He will end time. The entire fabric of the universe is held together by His constant power. Colossians 1:17, the Apostle Paul writes, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He literally has the whole of the universe holding it together at its very fabric and fiber of the smallest part of it. He holds it. Such power is demonstrated in God's Word. He stopped the rotation of the earth so Joshua could win a battle. He caused the rotation of the earth to go backwards as a sign to Hezekiah. He extinguished the light of the sun on the day that His Son hung on a cross. He has all that power. Think with me for just a moment. I'm a amateur astronomer. I love astronomy. But think with me for a moment about our universe. But first, let's think something a little smaller. Let's think about our galaxy. The galaxy that we live in, the Milky Way galaxy, is some 100 to 120,000 light years in diameter. And a light year does not have less fat. A light year is about, just so we don't have to do heavy math, it's about 6 trillion miles. It contains, just our galaxy alone, an estimated 200 to 400 billion stars, counting ours. There are believed to be more than 1 million other galaxies that have been observed through some means or another. And each of these are separated by millions of light years, and they contain billions to trillions of stars in them. And I remember when we went to the Creation Museum up in Kentucky and we went into the planetarium and they kind of took you on a journey away from Earth to stars that we see, such as stars in the constellation Orion and others. You know, you begin to go so far away and they try to show you this distance. And it's so vast. Millions of galaxies, over millions and millions of light years. And did you know God's bigger? Because He has to be, doesn't He? It's His creation. He holds it by His power. He's bigger than all of that. When we look at that, we understand why David said, "The heavens declare Your glory," don't they? Because when we see that, we see a God that is so vast and so great. Much bigger than Joe on the street. God is bigger than the universe, and He has to be in order to hold it together. Yet as big and infinitely powerful as God is, He is still willing to speak to us. Imagine that. Why? I don't know why people want to call me on the phone and talk to me. And yet God wants to speak to me. God loves me. I'm so insignificant. I'm such a small, itty-bitty blip in this vastness that He's created. That should awe us. Consider Job and what it was like when God actually spoke to him. You know, anytime anybody came into the presence of God, folks, it had an effect on them, didn't it? Isaiah, the minute he came into the presence of God in Isaiah chapter 6, said, Oh, behold, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips, right? Immediately in the presence of the holiness and righteousness of God, he saw everything wrong with him. That's why one day when Jesus Christ appears in that sky, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, because you're going to see just what you are. Daniel fainted. But think about Job. He spent the entire book talking to his friends and saying, "Oh, I wish I could just talk to God. If we could just get together and have a little conversation, we'd work all this out, because something's wrong. I didn't do anything. And my buddy's over here saying that I must have." But buddy, when God appeared, Job said, "Never mind. It's all good." In fact, he said, "I put my hand over my mouth because I spoke when I should have been quiet." Right? I'm going to shut up. Because God appeared to speak. But God wasn't going to let him off that easy, was he? He said, "No, Job, you're going to gird yourself up like a man. You're going to listen to me, right? Now you're going to answer some of my questions. You got questions for me? I got questions for you. I dare y'all to try to answer some of the questions, any of the questions that God asked there at the end of the book of Job. Because he is demonstrating his power. Where does ice come from? Where are the storehouses of ice? So many different things. I love reading those chapters. So we need to remember who we're talking to. And when we understand that, that gives us a good incentive. When we understand that we're talking to the God that controls it all, we're talking to the one person that can change whatever's taking place. Number two, the power of prayer helps us keep a balanced life. Praying to God keeps our lives balanced in several ways. Number one, it reminds us that we are never alone in this life. We are always in the constant awareness of God. Just as the sparrow, that worthless bird, is when it falls to the ground. And I ask you the question Jesus asked, are you not much more important than a sparrow? We are always in God's awareness. There's never a time that He doesn't know. There's never a time that He's not there. And that gives us great hope. That destroys the bitter pain of loneliness that so many people feel in this world. They go, "I'm lonely," and they go, "I don't have..." But they have God. So many people out there in the world buying billions of dollars worth of books. They just need one. You know, it keeps us humble. It reminds us that we need God to just get through daily life. I knew a man who endured a lot. Endured more than I ever have in my life. And I admired him for the way that he endured it. One day he told me, he said, "Nathan, I couldn't get up in the morning and make it through the day if it wasn't for prayer." And he lived it. It made a difference in his life. Think of all that life can bring to you on any day that you cannot control. Sickness or death. I have known the healthiest person to drop dead from an aneurysm. Just like that. Doesn't matter how much you worked out. Doesn't matter how good you ate. You're dead. In an instant. People lose their lives on a daily basis due to accidents. Some have their lives not taken from them, but changed irrevocably because of accidents, because of strokes, because of some other type of catastrophic injury. You have no way of knowing when you get up in the morning how much your life will change by the time you put your head on a pillow that night, or whether you even will put your head on a pillow. Your house can burn down in a day and you can't control it. You can lose your job. The economy can completely collapse. It has done so in a short period of time before, and it can again, causing you severe financial difficulty. You can be betrayed by those closest to you, and it will leave you emotionally destroyed. Oh, we so believe, don't we, that we control our lives. And we need to go to God to understand we don't really. The only thing we control is how we deal with life. How we live for God. Because we can't control any of these other things. They either happen or they don't happen. And when they do happen, we pray that we have God there with us, right? So that we can overcome them. God controls all, and such a belief will cause us to humble ourselves and look longingly to God. God opens doors for those that live for Him. He does control this world. He does work through providence. Joseph gave his life to God and God opened doors for him. Now Joseph went through a lot of difficulty, didn't he? Not saying this isn't the prosperity gospel teaching here. This is, you know, you may go through some valleys of deep darkness. And Psalm 23 says, David says, that you have to go through. But on the other side is that green grass, the still water, and that restoration that comes from where the Lord can lead you if you'll only allow Him to have your life. Hezekiah could not control the fact when Isaiah came in and said, "You're a dead man, right? Get your house in order." He couldn't control that, couldn't do anything about that. Hezekiah sat there and said, "I'm not going to die, I'm not going to die. I'm going to go down here and eat real healthy real quick. I'm going to exercise. I'm not going to die, I'm not going to die." He'd been dead because he couldn't control it. But what did he do? He turned his face to the wall and he prayed. Did it make a difference? Sure it did. God added 15 years to his life. You know, prayer also gives us someone who loves and understands us. Someone who wants to hear our struggles. He wants to hear what is hurting us, even though he already knows it. He wants us to tell him because he wants to be a loving father to us. I want to know what's going on with my children. I want them to talk to me, share with me. I may already know. You know, with your children, you can already figure out a lot. But I still want to sit down with them and talk to them and hear what they have to say about it. And God wants the same thing from us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him." Why? Because He cares for you. Does that make you feel good? To know that that vast God out there cares for you? I don't think this is the number for the church. And I hope it's not. But it's probably the number in the world. Now they say that when you tell people your problems, 90% don't care. 10% are glad it's happening to you. And so, I don't think that's the case in the Lord's church. And it's certainly not the case with our God. You know, you're going to share things. You're going to pour your heart out like Jesus did to His disciples on the night before He died. And some people just aren't going to care, are they? They're just not going to get it. Just like those men that night, Jesus had to turn to God because no one else was there for Him. And you're going to know days like that. We all do. But God is always there. You know, even fewer people understand what we're going through when we struggle. People say, I understand. But it really is rare that they actually do. Because every person's pain, every person's hurt, every person's situation is very unique to the individual. You might be able to empathize. You may have gone through something similar, but they're a very different person than you are. And even if y'all went through a very similar situation, their pain and their hurt is still very unique to them. But God understands completely and wholly, and even better than maybe we understand ourselves. God cares and truly understands when no one else does what our heartaches and our struggles are. Folks, we need that, don't we, in this life? We need that. When depression creeps into our life, we need to remember that we have a God that wants to help and understands. Trust in Him. Give your life more to Him in prayer and knowing what He wants. He can make a difference. I believe that with all my heart. Peace of mind comes from understanding the realities of life and accepting what is fact. The fact is that you do not control anything except how you are going to face this life. And you have to take it as it comes at you. But with God, you're given a strength that enables you to overcome, to be victorious, to be more than conquerors, as Romans 8 tells us. The fact is we stress and we strain and we make ourselves miserable trying to control this life instead of simply trusting in the One who does. I want to be my own God. I want to control my life. But see, I'm supposed to have died so that He can live. You know, and the third aspect of the power of prayer is that we will not receive if we do not ask. James states that his readers did not receive from God for two reasons. They did not ask, and when they did ask, they asked with wrong motives, didn't they? You know, asking God for a Maserati, there's a wrong motive there. That's another lesson. We'll have the Maserati lesson later. Or a fishing boat. I know I've got some fishermen, so I'll pick on that. So many of the things that the people that James was writing to were selfish and they were worldly and they weren't spiritual. How much of our prayers are about physical things? Getting God, what are you going to give me? How much of it is about God? How can I be stronger spiritually? Most dangerous prayer you can pray, folks, is God, do whatever it takes to make me faithful. Y'all ready to pray that one? Think about it. How important is being faithful to you? You mind if God does whatever it takes? I advise you to look in your Bible and see the answer to some that some people got for that prayer. But it's one worth of praying. You know, why should we expect God to go to the effort of giving us anything if we are not willing to show Him the respect of asking Him? And why in the world would we think that God would be pleased that we only come and ask Him for things whenever our life is turned upside down because we've messed it up and we never bothered to pray to Him to thank Him for anything else He'd ever done for us? If somebody only came to you and they needed something and never thanked you for it, how much would you like that? How much are we like that with God sometimes? Look at the Israelites. They were exactly like that. When things were good, they completely forgot about God. When things were bad, oh, please come help us. You know, He's a loving God, and He did anyway, didn't He? Better be glad it wasn't Nathan up there they was praying to. Jesus admonished that people should ask with persistence for the things that they want and what they need in order to receive what they want. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, he tells the parable of the woman and the judge. And the woman comes to the judge and says, give me legal protection for my opponent. And he was an unjust judge, and he didn't really care about her. But she just kept asking. We would say today, she kept nagging, right? She kept asking, and she kept asking. And he finally gave it to her just to make her be quiet. And Jesus says, will not God bring about justice for His elect who cry to Him day and night, right? Do we cry to God day and night for our lives? Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, the man that comes to your door late at night. Of course, they only had one room. All the families laid out on the floor. Y'all slept in the same room. And everybody's down on the floor. And the guy's knocking on the door. I don't have any food. I got a guest. I got to feed him. Can you give me some bread? And guys, I'm already down on the floor with all my family to get up. Everybody have to get up. The guy just keeps knocking. The man will get up and give him bread just to make him go away. Now, that's not how God is, but Jesus wants us to long for God. To long for what He can give to us. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. We sing the song, Seek Ye First, right? And we talk about seeking and asking and knocking. And Jesus says that those that seek, find. Those that knock, the door will be open. Those that ask will have it given to them. But see, in the Greek, it reads a little different. It's not those that seek, it's those that keep on seeking. Those that keep on asking. Those that keep on knocking. See, we don't just start one day whenever we decide our life's not what we want it to be. It's every day. Good, bad, or indifferent. It's every day that we go to God. The power of prayer is only seen in a faithful person who has given their life to prayer. Power of prayer is not going to necessarily be seen in just, I've said one prayer and I didn't get it. If you ask for your sins to be forgiven, you got it. If you thank God, He deserved it. Prayer had power for you even in just one. But the real power of prayer is seen in a life given to it. The lack of prayer is born from a lack of faith. True faith depends on God. And such dependence drives us to pray to the One that we depend upon for every breath that we take. See, faith is not just believing God's there. Faith, the word pistolos, is trust. Dependence. That I depend upon God. I need Him. Not just for my salvation, but for my life. For my strength. For wisdom. For all that He can give to me. The power of prayer is as powerful as God. And we've already touched on how powerful He is. You realize that? I don't know what God does and doesn't do. I'm not even going to presume to tell you this morning how God works in providence, because I don't know. I'm too stupid. And, everybody is. Because He's God. And we're not. But He is power, and prayer is as powerful as He is. We trust in that. Charles Hodge says in his book on prayer, he says, I don't believe in prayer. You know, first time I read that, I thought, what are you saying, Charles Hodge? Because I know Charles. He said, I don't believe in prayer. I believe in God. Right? So we don't believe in prayer. I believe in the God that I pray to. That He can do it. That He will take care of me. That He will bless me in ways I can't even begin to fathom or understand. That He sees my life all the way to my last breath. And knows exactly what I need for tomorrow. For the next minute, for the next second, and will give it to me. Do you believe in the power of prayer in your life, or do you think that you got it under control? Because I guarantee if you think you got it under control, you're not praying very much. Are you awestruck by the honor and privilege of speaking to the God that spoke the universe into existence? Have you not received this morning because you have not asked? Do you pray because you believe and you trust in the God you pray to? Let me tell you, Jesus in His life needed prayer. I am under no illusions. I try to be very honest with my life, what my weaknesses are. But I can assure you one thing for certain. I'm not as strong as Jesus Christ. Not as good. Not as holy. Not as righteous. That man needed Jesus. That man needed prayer. And if Jesus Christ needed prayer, I can assure you this morning, you need it. If you haven't given yourself to it, you really need to. There's a story of an African village. And it is said that this village was converted to Christianity by a missionary, and they took very seriously the passages in Matthew chapter 6 about praying in your closet, praying somewhere alone. But they didn't have closets. They lived in huts, right? So they all found them a place in the jungle where they could go and be alone and pray to God. And they made paths to their place to pray. But see, if you stopped praying for very long, your trail started growing up. Grass started to grow in it. The jungle began to retake your trail that you would make as you walked across. My dog can make a trail in a yard by walking on the same spot. You know, that person walking every day to that spot to pray to God wore that path out. But when a person stopped praying, the grass started growing. How about your prayer trail this morning? Got some grass? I hope it's worn down. I hope it's a ditch as you've worn the dirt off of it, walking to it. Heard a preacher on the radio one time say, buddy, we need to invest in knee pads, right? To wear out the pant, we'd wear out the knees in our pants if we didn't. We need to pray. If your prayer path this morning is a little grassy, maybe it's totally overgrown, maybe you can't even find it anymore. Clear you a new one. Get down on your knees and pray to the God that can change your life. This morning, if you're not a child of God, you are missing out on the opportunity to be a child of a Father that loves you. A child of God. To be one that can look to their Father and to pray to Him and know that He hears and will bless you at every turn. You can obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning and become that child of God. That's the reason Jesus Christ died for you. Come believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and be buried in baptism, raised to walk a new life, having your sins washed away there in the watery grave, and you're raised to walk a new life, a life that trusts in God, and that trust will cause you to pray. If you're a child of God, maybe you've forgotten how much you need the God in heaven, the one who controls all that goes on around you. You've forgotten that it's not about you, it's about Him. And you've not been talking to your Father. He's looking for you. He's waiting for the call, as we say. You know, parents sit by the phone. He's always waiting. Talk to Him. Let Him help you. Because only He can. If we can assist you in any way this morning, won't you let us as we stand and as we sing.